Bid you welcome this evening to our evening gospel service on this Resurrection Lord's Day. We're going to sing together a few of the lovely hymns that are in our hymn book. We're going to commence by singing together 114, Christ the Lord is risen today, hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. We'll sing just two verses of this hymn. Remain seated and let's have good singing from the very start, please. Some endless is the victory thou o'er death has won. What a victory there is in the empty tomb and a risen and a glorified Saviour. Amen. Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love.
it, tell it to it. Fills my heart with hope and cheer. It is old, yet ever new. Praise God for the greatest story ever told. The story of the redeeming love of Christ. The tomb is empty. The cross is vacant. And the throne is occupied. Praise God. We have a living and a tremendous truth in our hearts that one day He's coming again in power and in great glory. There's a story sweet to hear. Tremendous thought that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son because He loved you and He loved me. There will never be a sweeter story. Risen Savior, He's in the world today, and I know that He is living, whatever men may say. Praise God, you can visit the tomb of Buddha, you can visit the tomb of Joseph Smith, but when you visit the tomb in Jerusalem, it's empty because the Savior is risen, and praise God, He is alive today. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. We're going to stand and make this our opening hymn, and I'm not saying to lift the roof because it took us a fortune to put it on, and so we don't want any destruction tonight if we can, but metaphorically, let's lift the roof and sing this hymn to the praise and to the glory of God, please. Rejoice. We're the only people in the world who have a reason to rejoice tonight because we have a risen Savior. So let's really sing it with all our hearts and sing the chorus. And then after we sing this hymn, we'll ask our brother Donald again if he'll come and lead us to the throne of grace and prayer. It's lovely to have him with us, and the Lord bless you to come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer, please.
Thank you.
the note. And you can have a good cough. And we will sing the last verse unaccompanied. Our sister will give us the note. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing this. Really sing this with all our heart. And then our brother Donald will come and lead us in prayer.
Brothers and sisters, I have never heard better singing in the churches that have been around. Praise the Lord that we have something to sing about tonight, don't we? We have a Saviour who's alive and He's on the throne tonight. We can rejoice that Jesus Christ is alive. Wonderful singing and such a blessing to hear that. Let's just pray. Father, as we come into Thy presence, we come in and through that precious name of Thy precious Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we just thank Thee for Him. We thank Thee, Father, for everything about Him, how that we love Him. We thank Thee, Father, that Thy Word tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Father, we thank Thee that 2,000 years ago He went to that old rugged cross, and He suffered more than any man has ever suffered. Father, we praise Thee tonight for the sufferings of our Savior. We praise Thee, Father, for the precious blood that was shed, because without the remission of sin, then there was no forgiveness of, without the shedding of His blood, there was no forgiveness of sin. And Father, tonight we just rejoice in the Savior that we had, and how that He suffered, how that He shed His precious blood, and how that He died for us upon that cross. But Father, as we've been singing, we've been rejoicing that the grave couldn't hold Him, that death couldn't hold Him. And Father, we praise Thee tonight that Jesus Christ is alive. We thank Thee, Father, that He said, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Father, we thank Thee tonight for our precious Savior, the One who loved us and gave Himself for us. Father, we thank Thee again for another Lord's Day, for the many blessings that we've enjoyed this day, that we have received again this day from Thy hand, for the time around Thy Word this morning, reminding us that the Lord Jesus Christ draws near, that He goes with us no matter what we're going through in life. We praise Thee, Father, for the children's Sunday school. And Father, how precious and how important it is to get the Word of God into their young minds and hearts so early in age. Father, we pray that You'll protect our children in these days. We pray, Father, that You'll save their precious young souls and take them away from the wicked things that await them out there in that evil world. Save our children, Father, and protect them. And Father, as we praise Thee again for another two of our Ukrainian friends being with us who have joined us again. we bring before you, Father, the other ones still waiting on their visas, and Father, we just pass everything into thy hands. For this evening, Father, we praise thee for another gospel hour. Thank you for another opportunity to present the gospel message. And Father, it has already been said that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because we know what it is. We know that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We thank thee, Father, that the gospel is the dynamite of God, and how, Father, powerful that is, how that it can break the hardest and coldest heart down. And Father, tonight we ask that that's what the Spirit of God will do. We pray, Father, for those within the meeting tonight who are still outside of Christ. Father, we pray that you will help them, that the Spirit of God will move in their hearts and in their lives. And Father, that through the message that we hear tonight, that the Holy Spirit would break through. And Father, that there would be rejoicing in the midst of the angels of heaven, that another soul that repenteth. Be with the pastor as he comes again, as he opens up the Word of God. Take him, Father, and fill him with thy Holy Spirit. Help him, Father, to speak well of the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he has accomplished for us at Calvary. And Father, we promise to give thee all the praise, the glory, and the honor. And we ask these things in the name of our precious Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you very much, Donald. Whenever the war broke out in Ukraine, I was in Romania. We came home, and it wasn't long after that when Donald came to speak at our Sunday night meeting. And that began a process, as you know, to bring our friends to Northern Ireland. And we're still waiting on most of them coming. But yesterday, 10 of them made it. In fact, 11 made it. One's not staying with us. And then two of the girls, they were travelling through Dublin, coming to Dublin. They were actually travelling through Germany, and the first flight that they got was delayed 50 minutes, and that meant they missed their connection. They had to wait for a period of time in Munich in order to get a later flight last night. But they made it. They stayed in Belfast last evening, and they came up this afternoon. So we are delighted to have Tanya and Nastia. It's something like that. Nastasia, Anastasia, maybe in English. Three goals at us. Yeah. You want to stand up? Is Tanya there? He's away searching. So we welcome. We welcome one of them anyhow. Glad that they've made it. They'll maybe need, we thought we had two more singers. And you know, when they fled from their village, and just by the way, the Russians have occupation of their village just now. They've taken over a school, they're staying there, and it's just a very, very dangerous place to be. And I'm glad that these folks got out when they did, because it would probably be impossible to flee from the destruction that's happening there now. But we're so glad to have them. They came as they were. They fled to Poland, and they just arrived yesterday in what they had. And tomorrow we're going shopping to get them some dresses and things and all. They want to be able to be like that in church, and good to have you tonight. They're going to sing. They sang this morning, and we're going to invite them to come forward now and to minister in song. If the pastor has something to say, Anna, you can, if he wants to introduce the song, you can interpret for him.
Хотим спеть два псалма, и они будут радостными, хотя у нас на сердце есть и грусть о нашей стране, о том, что происходит там. Но сегодня такой день, когда мы радуемся.
We would like to sing two psalms tonight, and they're joyful, but there's trouble in our hearts and sorrow in our hearts.
Радуемся тому, что Христос воскрес.
But we're joyful tonight that Christ has risen.
И эти песни будут говорить о нашей радости, о вечном доме.
And these songs will tell you about our joy and not our sorrow and about our eternal home.
И если даже у нас кто-то может забрать земной наш дом, то небесный дом никто не сможет забрать у нас.
And if we can lose our home on this earth, we can never lose our home in heaven.
Потому что его подарил нам Христос. И благодаря жертве Иисуса Христа мы сегодня имеем это небесные обители, и мы хотим об этом спеть, об этой радости, что мы имеем вечность, которую невозможно никому украсть у нас.
Christ has given us our eternal home, and nobody can take it away from us, and we rejoice in it.
Слава Иисусу Христу.
God bless you.
Час, когда труба Господня над землею прозвучит, и настанет вечно светлая заря, и вина он всех спасенных перекличке повторит, там по милости Господней буду я. На небесной перекличке буду я, на небесной перекличке буду я, на небесной перекличке. Там по милости Господней буду я. Блаженный воскресенье всех умерших во Христе, воцарение их в обители царя. Всех святых омытых кровью пролитой на кресте, созовет он и готова плечи я. На небесной перекличке буду я, на небесной перекличке буду я, на небесной перекличке, там по милости Господней буду я. Дай трудиться для тебя, Господь, любовью всем служи, с утра раннего и до заката дня. А когда велишь работу мне земную ты сложи, на небесный клич тогда предстану я. На небесной перекличке буду я, на небесной перекличке буду я, на небесной перекличке, там по милости Господней буду я.
И зараз мы заспеваем на украинской мове. Таня, можно так?
And now we're going to sing in the Ukrainian language.
Это тоже будет радостная песня, она украинская.
It's also a joyful song in the Ukrainian.
Она тоже будет говорить о радости нашей в Господе Иисусе Христе.
And it will speak about our joy in Jesus Christ.
Радістю Христі я знайшов, він моє життя і спокій. Коли я до нього прийшов, з того часу батько він мій. З того часу я його син, його син, і радію, що він прийняв мене до святих тих країн. Я приніс до нього все зло, він тобі за серце моє, мені тоді гарно було, що ти спасіння дає. Того часу я його цінь, і радію, що він прийняв країн, щоб його я там прославляв, і тепер радію всі дні. прощення мені, коли я до нього прийшов. З того часу я його син, його син, і радів, що він прийняв мене до святих країн, що в його я там прославляв. З того часу я його син, його син, і радів, що він прийняв мене до святих тих країн, що в його я там прославляв. З того часу я його син, його син, і радів, що він прийняв мене до святих тих країн, що в його я там прославляв.
Thank you for your willingness to come and take part. It's very short notice. Trust the Lord will make that a blessing to us all. And of course, the little girl, Veronica, has a birthday today. That birthday will soon be over, but she's 11 and will be able to do what we normally do at the refreshments tonight. Can we welcome you in the Saviour's name to the house of God this evening on this Resurrection Day as we celebrate the reality of Christ being alive, rejoicing in that wonderful truth. And if you're visiting, and we had visitors this morning with the young people that were with us, we have visitors from Portadown. They're always very welcome from Spain, from Cumber, from Clogher Valley, wherever you're from, welcome in the Lord's name. And those that are listening in on the internet, always glad to have you. Refreshments will be served after tonight's meeting, and you're welcome to stay. The Easter Convention continues at the Martyrs tomorrow night at 7, and we encourage you to go. Thursday night is our midweek service. If our friends have joined us from Ukraine, the others, we will have a welcome service. So just keep your eye on Facebook and we'll get that announced. We mentioned that the men's breakfast that was scheduled for this Saturday has been postponed until the autumn time. There is a conference at the Martyrs, Answers in Genesis, on Saturday from 10 o'clock in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon. Remember the prayer meeting next Lord's Day at 8, the Sabbath school 10:30, the Bible class at 10:30, our worship service 12 noon. Brother Donald Fleming will be here to preach the word. Remember us as we travel to Bethel and in Enniskillen to preach at a missionary service there. In the afternoon, the Ballymoney Independent Annual Orange Service pardon me, will take place at 3:30, and Jonathan Story is the preacher. Everyone's welcome to attend that service if you can. The gospel meeting is at 7 o'clock, preceded by the time of prayer, and then over to Randallstown for the 9 o'clock youth rally, and Rebecca McCauley will be singing, and I'll be bringing the word. Again, thank you sincerely for your tithes and their offerings to God's work. We got through the announcements quickly. We're delighted to have the Hebron Choir tonight. We're going to ask our choir to come again and minister in song. We enjoyed them thoroughly this morning and the pieces that they brought. And we know in anticipation we'll enjoy them tonight as well. May the Lord bless you and us as you come to sing. Thank you. Thank you.
precious blood that gave me life.
Let's go.
Now, this is the hymn that we're going to sing as a congregation just before we come to the message. I understand it is the theme hymn of Faith and Action, so it means a lot to the Ukrainian folks. And we're going to sing it together. Sylvia will conduct the choir, and if you can see her, follow her. Those that can't see her, try to follow me, and I'll try to be in step with Sylvia, if that makes sense. So we're going to stand to sing, God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. Folks are going to go into the cry room because a translation can be given to them without disturbance in the meeting. And then maybe they'll join us at the door again just to greet them on their first Lord's Day with us. at the end of the service. Thank you. We're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, a preacher could have a nightmare for a number of reasons. One of the nightmares that a preacher could have coming to the pulpit is he's forgotten his notes. Another nightmare would be he's brought the wrong notes for a different sermon. Another one is that you have the right sermon, but the wrong language. And if you could read that, which you can't from where you're sitting, these are my notes for tonight. Okay, but I'm not preaching from this because they're all in Russian. All right. And this has been very kindly translated by Anna for the benefit of our friends who are with us tonight from Ukraine. I'm just going to do it in English. 1 Corinthians 15, let's read from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of the apostles, all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. And we're just going to end the reading there at verse 8. Let's look to the Lord for his help. Father, as we come to the end of the service tonight and the preaching of your word, we are thankful for all that has gone before. We rejoice in the hymns that we've sung together. We have been reminded on this day again of the living Christ, the one who is alive forevermore, and truly, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, our friends from Ukraine can face tomorrow. And we know some of the things that they have come through, some of the things that many others in that land and in Russia too have come through. But the believer can face tomorrow because of the living Savior who lives and reigns within our hearts. Come and abide with us tonight. Bless us in the word. Speak to every heart, especially those that know not the Savior tonight. Bring them to the foot of the cross for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to preach this Easter message to you tonight as we have it in summary in verses 3 and 4 of this passage. The second part of verse 3, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The central message of Easter is summarized in what I have just read to you tonight from this text. Indeed, it is the central message of the Christian faith. This is the heart of the gospel. The death and the resurrection of God's dear Son, Jesus Christ. And these are two of the most important doctrines surrounding the person and the work of our Savior. The crucifixion and the resurrection. Christ died for our sins. And he rose triumphantly from the grave on the third day, as he had said. One of the greatest sermons ever preached in the history of the entire church is the one recorded for us in Acts chapter 2, a sermon that resulted in the conversion of 3,000 souls, preached by Peter, who was extraordinarily filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and the preacher that is filled with God's power will proclaim these vital truths concerning Christ, that he died for our sins upon the cross, and he rose triumphantly from the tomb on that first resurrection morning. Listen to Peter. This is what he proclaimed in that famous sermon of Acts 2. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And then he went on to emphasize the glorious resurrection. And the outcome was phenomenal. The multitude of souls that were converted to Christ. In chapter 3, Peter and John are preaching again, and they declare to the audience that evening, ye killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead. The death and the resurrection of Christ, and as a result, a further 5,000 people were converted. In chapter 4, standing before the Jewish hierarchy, filled with the Spirit of God, Peter preached the same message, the death and the resurrection of Christ. Later on in that chapter, when Peter and John had been arrested and then released from custody, and that great prayer meeting that took place, where the very room where the people of God were assembled together shook, we go on to read, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And Peter is still, as you trace it through the Acts of the Apostles, Peter is still preaching that same message in Acts chapter 10 in the home of Cornelius about this Jesus who was hanged on a tree, and how that God raised him up the third day, and many Gentiles were converted on that occasion. When the great apostle, the apostle Paul, was remarkably converted to Christ on the road to Damascus, Christ became, as you know, the center of all his preaching, and particularly the death and the resurrection. In Acts chapter 17, for example, in verse 3, we are told that opening and alleging, this is what ministry Paul was engaged in as he preached from the scriptures, that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ, the death and the resurrection of our dear Savior. I want you to note what he wrote to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. That great sermon that speaks about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here in verse 14 it says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And he's getting there again to the very heart of the gospel. And to the Romans, in Romans chapter 4, I want you to mark verse 25. This is what he had to say, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And in that great text of Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And right now here in our text tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 3 and 4, we have the same message being outlined, the death and the resurrection of Christ. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And he was buried. And he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Paul begins this section of his letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as we read in the opening verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. What he proclaims in the next two verses, our text tonight, is a summary of the gospel. And I want you to note the words that I've just read to you, by which ye are saved. There's no other way of salvation. There's no other way whereby a man can have his sins forgiven. No other way of reconciliation to God. No other way to heaven. It is the death and the resurrection of Christ. Christ died for our sins, and Christ arose again triumphantly from the grave. No other way to escape hell. No other way to enter heaven. No other way of forgiveness and mercy and peace. Christianity is founded upon a crucified Savior who rose again from the dead. And my question tonight in this meeting, as we seek to draw everything to a conclusion on this Lord's Day, on this day of resurrection, is this. Do you know Him as your personal Savior? That's the question. Have you put your trust, your faith, wholeheartedly in the death and the resurrection of Christ for your eternal well-being, so that you are able to say, "It is well with me, preacher, and I know who I belong to, and I know where I'm going." It is my prayer that as you listen to this Easter message, that you will have that confidence within. And if not, that you will trust in this Jesus who was crucified for you and who rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So I'm just going to deal with the two points. First of all, the crucifixion. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The first great truth of the gospel preached by the apostle is here declared. Christ died for our sins. For this hour, Jesus had come. He was ordained from all eternity, from the counsels of God past, that Jesus would come into the world to do exactly what this text is telling us that he would do. Golgotha was in his mind, the mind of the Savior, from the moment that he came into the world. And you will know towards the end of his life, he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. Just speaking about the determination of Christ to go to the cross. Nothing was going to stop him fulfilling that which he had come to do, even to die for our sins. And it is here, outside the city walls at the place called Calvary, that Jesus was put to death in the flesh. And it was not just any old death that he died, but a sacrificial death wherein he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. How did he die? Well, you will know he died by crucifixion. He was executed by one of the most cruel and agonizing forms of capital punishment ever devised. He died in the worst way imaginable. Now, although the Romans did not invent crucifixion, they perfected it. They perfected it as a form of torture and capital punishment that was designed to produce a slow death with the maximum pain and suffering. The victim's back was first torn by scourging. When thrown to the ground, the hands and the feet were nailed to the cross. And that instilled an unimaginable degree of dreadful pain. I understand that the nails were driven through the wrists. The hands would never have held the weight of a man's body, even if they were tied to the cross. And the nails were driven into the wrists. And in doing so, it severed the large medium nerve, stimulating, excruciating bolts of fiery pain in both arms. I know nothing of that pain, but I can remember years ago being in Brazil, and Dr. Bill Woods invited me into surgery, and I saw an operation performed wherein he opened up the man's wrist here, and he opened it up here as well, because that main nerve running through the arm had become entangled with the flesh. It began to attach, and that had caused terrible, terrible pain to this man. And Dr. Bill, he was going to scrape it and take it apart so that the nerve had freedom in the arm, and the man, therefore, in recovery, would be pain-free. The Lord Jesus Christ endured this kind of pain. Beyond this acute stabbing pain, the major effect of crucifixion was the way in which the breathing was inhibited. The weight of the body pulling down on the arms and the shoulders, tended to fix the respiratory muscles in an inhalation state, hindering exhalation. Hardly able to breathe. Hardly able to expire your breath. And the lack of adequate breathing resulted in severe muscle cramps, which hindered breathing even further. And to get a good breath, the victim had to push up with his feet and flex his elbows, pulling down from his shoulders, and putting the weight of the body on the feet produced searing pain throughout the body. And here I'm going to stop with my descriptions. I don't need to go any further. You get the picture. If I was to describe it further, the detail would be most gruesome indeed. How painful was it? Well, we get the English word excruciating from the Roman word out of the cross or crucifixion. You want to consider how heinous sin must be in the sight of God when it required such a sacrifice as this. And that's just the physical sufferings of Christ. There were sufferings that were well beyond that and more severe and excruciating. When the sins of man were laid upon our dear Savior, when Christ bore our sins in his body. We never speak of the physical sufferings of Christ to make us feel sorry for Christ or to pity him. Jesus did not need pity when he was hanging on the cross. Let your pity be upon those who reject the finished work of Christ on the cross. All this suffering that he went through, let your pity be reserved for those who constantly tramp underneath their feet the love of Christ as it is seen at the cross of Calvary. It is important to note that Christ didn't die just any old way. He didn't just simply die. Millions have died through the ages. In fact, all men have died from the beginning, except for the two that the Bible mentions, Enoch and Elijah. It's not just simply that Christ died by crucifixion either. He was not the only one to die this way. The Romans and others crucified thousands of people by crucifixion. On the same day when Jesus was put to death on the cross, there were two thieves on either side of him. You remember that? What is so important to note regarding Christ's death is the little phrase here that follows. For our sins. Christ died for our sins. This was the mighty purpose of Christ's death. And when we speak of the death of our Savior, it is always with this in view. It is in this context. Our sins were transferred to him. Our sins were laid upon him fully and truly. God the Father laid upon God the Son all the guilt and the wrath that our sin deserved. And Jesus bore it in himself perfectly, totally satisfying the wrath of God in our place. We have sin that needs to be forgiven, men and women. We have sin that needs to be put away, to be dealt with forever. Sin that somehow needs to be removed permanently from us because we are under condemnation. Condemnation of God has demanded that we die for our sin, that we be punished for our sin, that we go to hell forever because of our sin. That sin needed to be removed, and there was only one way that that could happen. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And it wasn't just any blood of animals or men, but it necessitated the shedding of Christ's blood. The innocent, pure, spotless, undefiled Son of God. And this blood must be shed in sacrifice. An atoning sacrifice on the cross. And it must be done substitutionally. In my place. In my stead. And this Jesus did. That's what Peter referred to when he said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Paul wrote to the Galatians about Christ who gave himself for our sins in Galatians 1 verse 4. And how that he was made a curse for us in Galatians chapter 3 and 13. Addressing the church at Rome. In Romans 5 he declared that Christ died for the ungodly in verse 6. And how that Christ died for us in verse 8. And this is the message of the gospel in a nutshell. Christ died for us. For us. In our stead. Here we are led to the most important truth of Christ's work. His substitutionary death. The fact that he took the sinner's place. That little preposition for is vitally important. Because it means in the place of. There was no other way of salvation. It's impossible to get to heaven any other way. You can't climb up any other way. Man has attempted to get to heaven in so many different ways, but there's no other way. The whole plan and scheme of redemption and salvation centers on the fact that God sent his only begotten Son into this world to be the sacrifice for sin, to take the sinner's place, to do something that we could not do for ourselves. And that was to remove our sin. This is what Jesus did. I've often asked the question, if there was another way. Another way to get to heaven. Another way to put our sins away. Another way to be reconciled to God. Why? Tell me why would God subject his Son to the sufferings of the cross? Why would God do that to his Son if I could get to heaven another way? But the fact of the matter is there's no other way but the way of the cross. It's the way of the cross that leads home. You bypass the cross and you'll be lost in hell forevermore. Well, you notice how the text goes on to say that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. According to what this book recorded in the Old Testament. Paul was thinking about what the Word of God had already said. That pointed to the great work of the Messiah. It's very possible that he was thinking about the Passover lamb. The picture there is presented to us in Exodus chapter 12. The last plague. The death of the firstborn. Israel was commanded by God to shed the blood of the lamb. And to take that blood and apply it to the lintel and the side posts of their homes where they dwelt. And when the death angel passed through the land of Egypt that night, you remember the promise that God gave, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And praise God, there upon the cross of Calvary, the Lamb of God died, he shed his blood. And when that blood is applied to the hearts of men, when God sees the blood, he will pass over us. His wrath will pass over us. We'll never be lost. We'll never be in hell. Hallelujah. Paul might also have been thinking about David's declarations. In the Psalm 22, it's the greatest psalm perhaps in all the psalms that speaks about the cross. Some believe that Jesus there on the cross quoted all of the Psalm 22 because it referred to him from the beginning. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? In the words of my roaring, verse 6, but I'm a worm and a no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Verse 14, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melteth in the midst of my bowels. In verse 16, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And all that we read here in the words of the Psalm 22, we see at the cross. For Jesus died that way. Paul might also have had in mind Isaiah 53. And perhaps there's not a grander Old Testament prophet than the one that the evangelical prophet brings to our attention in that chapter. About the one who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. How the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. How he was taken and led as a lamb to the slaughter. And you read that beautiful chapter of God's words, all about the cross. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And then I want you to notice, secondly, the resurrection. Not only did he die for our sins according to the scripture, but he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Christ was buried. He lay in the tomb for 3 days, but glory to God, he rose again the third day. And this truth is essential to the gospel. Jesus Christ is alive. That's what we have been proclaiming today in our messages, in our singing, in our worship, in our praying. Someone has said the resurrection of Jesus is not some add-on to a more important work on the cross. If the cross is the payment for our sins, the empty tomb is the receipt, showing that the perfect Son of God made perfect payment for our sins. The payment itself is of little good without the receipt. This is why the resurrection of Jesus was such a prominent theme in the evangelistic preaching of the early church. My friends, while the death of Christ is extremely important, it's the very heart of the gospel, it's extremely good news indeed. The rising of Jesus Christ from the dead is also vitally important. It is because of the resurrection his death is triumphant. It is because he lives that we shall live also. If Christ had not have lived, we would never have lived. And Paul deals with this at length in the remaining part of our passage of scripture that we read from tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you want to read from verse 12 right through to verse 57. But just let's read some of the verses from verse 13. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that Christ, that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. My friends, because Jesus lives, we are going to live also, those of us who know him as our personal Savior. Come with me, just in closing tonight, to the resurrection morning, to the empty tomb of our blessed Redeemer. Mary Magdalene, as you know, was the first to see him after the resurrection. And then the women returning from the tomb. Remember, the angel first had a message for them. Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen from the dead, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. That was at the tomb. And now as they are returning from the tomb to tell the disciples the message of the angels, the Bible says Jesus met them. The next was Peter, Simon Peter, by himself. The Lord revealed himself, raised from the dead to him. And then the two on the road to Emmaus, as we mentioned this morning. And then finally the 10 disciples in the evening of that first Lord's Day. For 40 days he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Christ is the resurrected living Savior. And he's now in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And so, my friends, the question, do you know him? Do you know him as your Savior? And if not, will you not come now to know him, to receive him, to believe on him for the eternal well-being of your soul? Praise God, you can come to him now. Right now, in this service, on Easter Sunday, as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Remember, the resurrection was also according to the scriptures, and there are Old Testament verses like Hosea 6:2, Jonah 1:17, Psalm 16, verse 10. And they're all indicating that the Savior would rise again from the dead. Do you know, my friend, it's our earnest prayer that you will receive him tonight if you know him not. Receive him as your personal Savior. Let's pray. Our Father, we glory in Christ. We glory in the cross. We glory in the resurrection. We thank you for the great truth of your word that we've considered tonight, that Christ died for our sins. Lord, just now as we bow in prayer, maybe take it in. What it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away our sin, to take the punishment, the full punishment of every sin that we've ever committed. Little sins that many people count insignificant, but sin in the sight of God. And great mountains of sins, huge sins, wicked sins against God and man. Christ died. He had to be punished for these sins. He bore them in his body. Oh, what love. Don't let the sinner turn away from that love. They may turn away from many another thing, but Lord, don't let them turn away from the cross, from Christ crucified. May they come to know him. May they venture all upon his sacrifice and realize that it was for them that Jesus died and that Jesus lives again. We pray that this night will be the night of conversion in the hearts and lives of sinners here in this meeting and others that are tuned in on the internet. Lord, speak, we do pray. And crown this day with spiritual success in the saving of some dear soul for Jesus' sake. Amen. We sing in closing, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Is there someone here tonight, and you're going to say in your heart, O Lamb of God, I come. When you come to Christ, may you come to the Lamb slain for your sin. I trust you will.
God, as we close, we give thanks for the Lamb of God, for his sufferings, his death, the crucifixion. If nothing else moves our heart, surely the cross of Christ ought to. When we think of our sins, mountains of sins. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, we pray, even in light of our sins against God, that we will be touched and moved to seek the Lord for mercy and forgiveness. Come to the cross. Get underneath the covering and the cleansing of the blood, and know our sins pardoned and forgiven. Lord, do it tonight, as you separate us now with your blessing. Receive our thanks for the good things provided for those that are able to stay for this time of fellowship. Give us all traveling mercies home, for Christ's sake. Amen.